You're listening to KPCRadio.com.
Let's push button, baby. Let's push
button, baby. You know what time it is, folks. It's about 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 20th. And welcome to In the Hot Box, the show where your story, our story, is history. This time, this is an In the Hot Box producer's cut. Once again, got something new for you guys. I think a lot of people on campus miss out on this series. This is a special event that happens every semester, but students are tied up with classes, and, you know, it's kind of a special time during the season. So we're going to introduce the Pierce Media Arts Speaker Series. This time during the series, we got Luis Cinco. He's an LA Times photographer and journalist. We're going to jump right into the series as Pierce Media Arts professor Jeff Favre introduces Luis Cinco.
I decided to bring them here because if you're like me, when I was going to a two-year college, I did not know how to break into the industry at all. And the way you learn is you meet professionals and you get to see what they do. And we're really fortunate to have Luis Cinco with us. He's been a professional photographer for 30 years. He's been with the LA Times full-time for more than 20 years. Is that right? 20 years. He's been part of a couple of Pulitzer Prize-winning teams. And though no one is defined with a body of work this rich by one photo, Luis took a very famous photo that ran in way more than 100 photos, which I'm sure he's going to show you. It's just a wonderful photo, and so some of the work he's done is really impressive with the Times, and we're just really fortunate to have him. So everybody, please sing it.
Thank you, Jeff. How many of you are photographers in here? I work, as Jeff said, as a photographer, staff photographer at the LA Times. If you are in photography and you want to get into the newspaper business or any kind of publication, it's very difficult at the moment. Everything is changing. Not to say that wasn't difficult all along. It was hard for me to get into this business, but it's harder still. So if you're into it, you just have to really stick with it, and you have to start working now on building a book, a portfolio that's pretty strong, because the LA Times does offer internships. One for the summer, one for a year, and one for 2 years. I've been at the LA Times now, this year will be 20 years, and I've traveled the world for the LA Times. I don't do a lot of traveling now, but I did at one time. And I've covered everything from news to sports to features for them. Everything from the Iraq War to Coachella last weekend. So it's a really good gig. And I'm sorry to say that there aren't very many gigs like this left, because it's been a lot of fun.
It was 13 years ago that Cinco was embedded with a group of Marines in Fallujah, Iraq. This is where he took a photo of Lance Corporal James Blake Miller, the photo that went on to become the famous Marlboro Marine photo seen around the world.
This photo basically ran in every front page of every newspaper in America, and was in publications around the globe within 24 hours of when I took it. I sent it out by satellite phone, and it just took off. And subsequent to that, after I was back from the war for about a year, and Blake, the subject of the photo, was back for a year, he went on national television and said, "I know I'm the poster boy of the Iraq War, but I have PTSD. My mind is really effed up." So it took a lot of bravery for him to do that. At first, I just heard about it from my ex-wife. She called me. I was working on the U.S.-Mexico border. And so I ended up calling him up, but I had no intention of really meeting up with him. After Fallujah, I didn't really want to have many memories of that experience, because at that time, even a year later, Fallujah was running in my mind like an endless loop of film, just rerun. Fortunately, my wife, who is a former journalist, my ex-wife is a former journalist, told me, you know, this is quite a story. Your guy is the poster boy of the Iraq War. Now he's got PTSD. You may want to go see him. So I ended up going to see him. He's from Appalachia, which is one of the poorest portions of this nation. And I ended up following him for almost 2 years after that and chronicling his experiences.
Today, Luis Cinco shares that experience. He tells the story of Lance Corporal Miller through visually stunning photos and Miller's own words. I want to remind you guys before we start that some of the language is visually graphic, so discretion is advised.
My nightmares revolve around a lot of faces. A recurring dream is me actually looking down the rifle and knowing that, you know, I'm about to pull the trigger on that person. It's an insane connection that you make with that person at that point. To see somebody in your sights and to pull that trigger, it's almost like you're there with them, seeing their life flash before their eyes, as well as taking it. To look back at it now and just think about holding a rifle and firing at another human being, it's gut-wrenching as well as, you know, brain-wrecking. How do you justify it? Regardless of what your causes are or what their causes are. How I feel about the war today, I can sum up in one question. The same question that can be asked for Vietnam. What have we gained as a country? What have we actually accomplished other than the loss of some damn fine people? People willing to give their life for the country that we have, for this nation, for the freedom that we have.
Still in touch with him?
Oh yeah, I talked to him like a couple of days ago.
I was just curious so you actually developed a friendship also?
Yeah, we're friends now. The important thing about this story, what you saw in the Marlboro Marine, is that as a journalist, as a photojournalist, you're not supposed to get involved with the guy's life, right? I mean, at one point, if you read the text there, I was like, oh dude, you're really suicidal. Maybe we should check you into a program. Now, technically, I'm supposed to just let him come to that decision, right? And if he decides to commit suicide, I'll be like, hey, I guess I'll be there to take your photo. But instead, I was just like, you know, I don't know, this kind of feels really weird, right? Like we were together in Fallujah, even though I wasn't with him the whole time. I just didn't, you know, the way I felt about that whole Fallujah thing was that I thought it was a big waste. I thought, you know, there were a lot of statistics out of Fallujah. There was probably about 3,000 Arabs dead, young men, all of them probably your age. And there was more than 100 Americans dead, all of them your age. And I thought, that's really crazy. This guy's made it back. We both made it back. And he wants to be a statistic that came long after the battle. And I was like, ah, that's kind of great. So I stepped in and said, you know, we better check your own program. So then I talked to his wife, and his wife said that this program in Connecticut was particularly interested in him coming there. And it was administered by people from Yale, and it was supposed to be a good program, so I ended up taking him there.
Journalists make difficult decisions every day. War correspondents are required to make even tougher decisions at a moment's notice. What would you do?
There are a lot of serious questions about this afterwards. The story almost ended at that point. I mean, one of my editors was trying to track me down. I finally called him. He said, where are you? And I said, I'm in Connecticut. And he said, well, what the hell are you doing there? And I told him, well, I had to check him into a program. And he went ballistic. He went, what are you doing? So you're not supposed to get involved. And like I said, having been with him in Fallujah and knowing that like a lot of young people died, it wasn't like guys my age that died there. It was like guys like your age. Guys that like are as old as my son now. I had to go to a Poynter Institute, I think it was an ethics fellowship. And we all talked about like these instances where like, you know, the objectivity was thing was like, wow, what do I do about this? But I answer for myself and I say that in many situations where there was something happening where somebody might have needed assistance or somebody needed to intervene, someone else did. But in this case, it was just me and him. I found him at like his uncle's house, and he's like, and I thought, oh, he's gonna blow his brains out. So there was nobody else to intervene, right? So basically, it was me. Like, for example, about a year ago, I went down to Anaheim because the KKK decided to have a rally 3 miles away from Disneyland, right? So like six of them showed up. And like 100 counter-protesters showed up and immediately laid into them, like just beating the hell out of them, right? And at some point I was like, hey people, I got my photos, we can stop now, right? But I didn't, and I was like thinking, here's another situation, maybe I should say something. And then some guy stepped in and said, hey, we don't want anybody to die. And he was a Jewish guy. And he was like, hey, and then afterwards he was like telling the Klansman, hey, I'm a Jew, I just saved your life.
I once believed that I might be able to put aside my experiences and possibly be a wartime correspondent. Yet now I don't know if I can sit back and watch our troops engage the enemy without unconsciously picking up a weapon to defend them. Well, that's it for this episode of In the Hot Box, the Producer's Cut. For those just tuning in, this episode was a special broadcast of the Pierce Media Arts Speaker Series with Luis Cinco, LA Times photographer. If you or someone you know is suffering from severe depression or suicidal thoughts due to post-traumatic stress disorder, please contact the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. This is Mario Lawson reminding you to think before you drink. And if you're going to have sex, play it safe and use protection. Thanks for listening, all. I'm out of here.
You're listening to KPCRadio.com.
It's push button, baby. It's push button.